Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pinetop Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. You may email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Visit our website, www.pinetopcoc.org. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks, and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pinetop Church of Christ, 1102 Pinetop Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We normally have Bible class beginning at 9 o'clock Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. However, during this pandemic, we are having one service at 10:30 and broadcasting in the parking lot on FM 97.9. A very popular doctrine in the religious world today is that there is no work that we must do to have salvation, that Jesus did it all. Some would even tell us that if there's anything that we must do to have salvation, then it's not the gift of God. Today, let's search the Scriptures to see what the Scriptures tell us about our responsibility to obtain salvation. The Apostle Paul had a very special relationship with the Christians at Philippi. In chapter 2, verses 12 through 16 of his letter to them, he wrote, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." They had been obedient to the commands of God to become his children, but their past obedience did not guarantee their continued faithfulness. Obeying the commands to become a child of God should motivate us to continue to be faithful and to bring our salvation to its full accomplishment, to its complete conclusion. Paul told these brethren who had believed to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. They still had work to do. How can we work out our own salvation? Let's consider what Paul told the Philippians. In verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2, we read, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye therefore my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." They were told to encourage others in love, in unity, in humility, and in service. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus told his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." If we consider ourselves a Christian, does the world recognize us as a disciple of Jesus by the love that we show to others? Do we seek to have the unity instructed to the Philippians to have? Are we of one accord, of one mind? Do we teach and practice that which God has revealed? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, Paul said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Paul rebuked the church at Corinth for having divisions among them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together of the same mind and the same judgment." If Paul told the Corinthians to have no divisions among them, what would he tell the religious world today with its denominational divisions? Another way that we must work out our own salvation is in humility. As Paul said in verse 3, our society often promotes arrogance. When we consider Jesus while he was on earth, he was humble, but he was not weak. Also, when we look at the record of Moses in the Old Testament, we do not see a weak individual. Yet the scripture calls Moses the meekest of men in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. The meekness of Jesus was displayed in his being obedient unto the Father, even to the point of being the atoning sacrifice for sin. Paul said in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Jesus was with God when the world was created, and while on earth he had the fullness of the Godhead. Yet he humbled himself to be the servant to mankind by being the sinless sacrifice to satisfy the debt of sin. We work out our own salvation by having the mind of Christ. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, the mind of Christ was a mind of sacrifice. It is also a mind of submission, a mind of steadfastness, a mind of surrender. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." For us to receive the salvation that Jesus died to provide, we must obey him. There are things that we must do to take advantage of his sacrifice for us. During his personal ministry in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus told his disciples, "The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master." Then, in verse 46, he said, Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Even during his time on earth, Jesus said that we must obey him. We often hear of God's love, and indeed God is love. God is also just, and his justice demands punishment for disobedience. The writer of Hebrews said in chapter 12, verses 28 and 29, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." If we are admonished to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, then there must be some whose service is unacceptable to God. The reason we are given to serve God acceptably is because that God is a consuming fire. Paul told the brethren in Thessalonica in his second letter, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." In this passage, Paul speaks of the Thessalonians having believed his testimony. They believed what Paul and his company had taught them. From this teaching, they would be able to know God. Because of their obedience, they were being persecuted by some who did not know God. Paul assured them that God would recompense tribulation to those people. Notice the wording of what Jesus would do when he returns. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul taught that they must obey. And after we believe, we must obey what God has revealed. Paul also speaks of the everlasting destruction. It seems that some today do not want to believe in an eternal place of punishment. Both Paul and Jesus spoke of everlasting punishment for those who do not obey God. We have eternal life with God and Jesus in heaven to gain, and eternal punishment with the devil and his angels to shun by having the mind that was in Christ, a mind of humble obedience to all of God's commands. When he gave his apostles what we call the Great Commission, as recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we read, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." After we obey the initial commands to hear, to believe, to repent, to confess, and be baptized into his kingdom, we must continue to obey and to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God working in us. We cannot earn or merit salvation, but we must humble ourselves to obey God's command to have the blood of Jesus to atone for our sins. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context. Consider all the inspired writer said and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on a day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Then in verse 24, Jesus said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.